boys, right now in the Brooklyn Museum, you could see the crown jewels of the kings and the queens of Russia. And people go over there and they say, oh, so beautiful. Look at the king, look at the queen, look at their paintings, look at their beautiful crowns and jewels, look at the beautiful clothing they used to wear. Look how rich, look how special. Well, there's something about that. One of the queens had 15,000 dresses in her closet. Well, as we go over there to look at that, as we know also, they were big troublemakers for Jews. There are many stories in the time of the Alter Rebbe and the Mittler Rebbe and the Tzemach Tzedek. Such big troublemakers those same kings and queens were, especially the one in our story, Tsar Nikolai. Oy gaval, did he make trouble. Now, one of the terrible gzeirois, one of the terrible decrees, the laws of Nikolai was this terrible thing that I'm going to tell you about. And that's where he would catch a Jewish boy. The little boy is walking the cheder, or he's playing in his yard, or maybe he's even in his room, or even eating his breakfast by the table. And the soldiers of Tsar Nikolai, they come into his yard, or on the road, or even into his house without knocking. They grab the boy, and the mommy and tati are screaming to stop, don't take our boy. But they say, we're taking the boy. Orders of Tsar Nikolai, the king of Russia. All those beautiful jewels and stuff didn't necessarily make him behave so beautiful, did it? They grab the boy, and they take him away as he's crying. And the mommy and tati are crying. And they grab the boy, and they take him away. The first place they take him away is far, far away on a farm. A farm, yes. He is now going to live on a farm, like a big jail farm. And then, after a few years on the farm, and they don't let him visit his mommy and tati, and they don't let his mommy and tati visit him. The mommy and tati don't even know where he is, and nobody will tell him. This is the way Tsar Nikolai wanted it. Then they say, you're going to the army. Oh, you're going to the army. Well, how long is the army? Usually a few years, maybe, like most armies? No. The army of Tsar Nikolai, 25 years in the army. And after 25 years in the army, then you can go home to visit your parents. Is this a nice law of Tsar Nikolai? Why would he do such a terrible thing? Because Tsar Nikolai says, I want the Jews to forget their Jews. Only to be like a regular Russian. That's all. Regular Russian. Everybody should be the same. No differences. Everybody should be the same. Everybody be like me, Tsar Nikolai, a Russian. And this way, he thought, he will get the Jewish boys to forget all about Yiddishkeit and be like every other Russian. Now, Ken Alak, this was a real law, a real gzeira, it really happened. But the story I'm going to tell you is how the whole thing ended, how it stopped. What happened that Tsar Nikolai himself stopped his own law because he saw it did not work? This is the story. Bezal Hashem, I'm going to tell you now. It's a long story. It's a serious story. It is a sad story. But it can only be told if it is quiet in the lunchroom. It's an important story. Okay. And this is how the story goes. One day, Tsar Nikolai is sitting on his throne, wearing his crown, doing whatever he's doing as a king. And one of the things of a king is that he worries, what do the people think about me? What are the people saying about me? What are the people doing? Are they doing my laws or are they breaking my laws? Are they doing anything against the king? Now, one thing the king is most afraid of, what is a king most afraid of? A spider? A boogeyman? What is a king afraid of? A grasshopper? A mouse? A scary mask? Okay. What do you think a king is most afraid of? The queen? Maybe. Okay, what do you know? We're talking about a king like Tsar Nikolai, who unfortunately does not care too much about what Hashem thinks. He's such a big Balgaiva, Mr. Matsias, big shot man. And he thinks he's the best, and he's the greatest, and he's the most powerful. Shh. He didn't exactly be a person that believes in the Abishter. Shh. Okay, what do you think a king is most afraid of? Of anything? Can you guess? What do you think? A bad report card? What?
If somebody will want to take over his land.
Very good answer. Who is this young man over here? Is that the same one who remembered the story that I forgot? From where? Riga? How would you like a job, young man? Teaching first grade, substituting for a while. See you later, Rabbi Rappaport. We have a sub. This man is all right. All right, very good. He is afraid that somebody will take over the land. Now, somebody taking over the land means somebody will come into the palace, walk up to the king's throne, pull the king off the throne, take the crown off the king's head, put it on his own head, take the king's robes, put it on his own body, and this person is now sitting on the throne, and he says, I am the new king, and the old king will not have a job anymore. He won't be king anymore, and he has to leave the palace, and he has to go do something else. Who knows what he's going to do? What do you think he might do if he's not the king anymore?
Go to the gas station.
He'd have to go work in the gas station or something. Who knows? What's he going to do? This is what a king is afraid of. Well, Tsar Nikolai said, I will never let this happen to me. So what did he do? A smart plan. And of course, as we know, Tsar Nikolai had the black wagon. Anybody he caught or even suspected of any no-nos against the king himself, they would catch the person, put him in the black wagon, bring him off to jail, and usually it was a one-way trip. He goes into jail, he does not necessarily go out of jail, not with his head anyway, because the king would get rid of such bad guys. If they even said a word against the king, they did something against the king, even he suspected they were doing or plotting against the king, he would right away send the black wagon, and of course, that's it. And as we know, even the Alter Rebbe was taken in the black wagon, but the Rebbe helped with the whole special nisim of Yutes Kislev, and the Alter Rebbe got out of jail. Mirtz Hashem tomorrow, when it is quiet, we'll continue with this very important, but sad, but interesting story.
Tomorrow, Mirtz Hashem, first of all, raise your hand if you're going to the olive. If you're going to the olive, raise your hand. If you're going to the olive, raise your hand. Okay, if you're going to the olive, listen very carefully. Very carefully. Tomorrow.
As we said, a king is worried about what people are thinking and saying and doing. And Tsar Nikolai, when he sat on his throne, he would get worried. What are people thinking about me? Do they like me? What are people saying about me? Now, Tsar Nikolai was smart, and he thought of a plan, and he says, sometimes a king would send an officer out to go spying around and give the king a report of what the people are saying and doing. But Tsar Nikolai did not trust his officers. He says, if I send out an officer, maybe he's going to tell me a lie. Maybe they're going to make a plot, a plan. Who knows? The officers could try to trick the king. Nope, I'm not going to let anybody trick me. So Tsar Nikolai said, I'm going out myself to find out what people are thinking and saying and doing. Well, if he goes out in his crown with his beautiful robes and fancy clothes, well, people are probably not going to necessarily act the way they act if the king is not there, so he's not going to find out too much. So Tsar Nikolai said, I'm going to dress up just like a regular person. I am going to put on a disguise, not a costume, but like a costume. For him to put on regular clothes is a costume that nobody should recognize him. He'll look like a regular person because they didn't have pictures in those days that everybody sees exactly what the king looks like. Maybe a few people got to see him up close to know exactly what he looks like. Otherwise, most of the people do not know what Tsar Nikolai looks like. They only know that he is the Tsar. So one night, this happened many times, but this particular story happens on one night. It starts on one night. Tsar Nikolai goes into his room and puts on his regular clothes that nobody knew about. He kept it a secret. And then he goes out tippy-toe the back door of the palace, and nobody knew that he was gone. And now he goes walking out into the city, and he looks like a regular person. And he says, I'm going to go to a place where people are talking and find out what they're saying. Well, over there on a certain street was a bar. I'm not saying a bar mitzvah. There was no bar mitzvah going on that time. There was a bar without the mitzvah. What is a bar? You know what a bar is? Oh yeah, Rabbi Burson. A bar is a pear we put in the charoisis. I don't mean a bar in Yiddish. I'm talking now in English. What is a bar? Yeah, what's a bar? You know what a bar is? Oh yeah, outside the playground, right over there, Rabbi Burson, is a bar. Not that kind of bar. There's a different kind of bar. What's a bar?
A place where they sell mashke.
A place where they what?
Sell.
Well, they could sell mashke there. What else do they do in a bar besides sell mashke? They just go sell the mashke and they go home? What do?
Sell wine.
What do they do in a bar besides selling mashke?
Also eat.
What?
Eat.
Okay, well, maybe they eat a few pickles and pretzels and stuff. Anything else they do besides sell mashke and eat pickles? They smile. Okay, what else?
They drink mashke.
They drink mashke. That's right. Not only they sell the mashke, but they drink the mashke. And of course, a bunch of people sitting around drinking mashke, eating pickles, eating pretzels and peanuts and all the good stuff. They start talking, you know, and they get a little bit like feeling good, and all kinds of words come out. The Tsar says, this is a perfect place to go find out what people are saying about me. Because people are talking, a lot of people talking, I could go and listen to what they're saying. Oh, this is going to be good. And so the czar goes into the bar. Hey, Rabbi Burstyn, that rhymes. Okay, it rhymes. I didn't want it to rhyme. I'm not trying to look for rhymes, but if it rhymes, so it's okay. It rhymes. So what? Okay, the czar walks into the bar. And people are drinking and the people are talking. And the czar goes and sits down on a stool, like a seat over there, next to a long table. And over there, people are sitting and drinking, and people are sitting at tables and drinking. And the bartender is on the other side getting people drinks. And next to the czar, who was sitting by the bar, was an empty stool. And the czar was listening to the talk going on around him, when all of a sudden, there comes into the bar a soldier. A soldier dressed up in his uniform with his sword. The soldiers went with their swords in full uniform if they were, you know, on duty. And the soldier sits down on the stool right next to the czar. Did he know it was the czar sitting right there in the bar?
No.
No. The czar was just dressed up like a regular person, and nobody knew that the czar was right there in the bar. Okay, Rabbi Rappaport is looking at his watch. Doesn't have a watch, but he's looking for his watch. That means he's getting a little nervous. It's getting too late. And it means we have to stop. That means we have to stop just today. Mirtz Hashem on Fun Day. Some people say Sunday. It depends on the weather. But even if it's raining, it's Fun Day. It's so much fun. We're back in Yeshiva. On Fun Day, Lee Netter, we will continue with this very interesting long story. Okay, the czar came in to the bar. Did you know he was the czar? Do you know? Okay, nobody knew he was a czar. He was hiding. Did he have a Purim costume on? How was he hiding? Behind a tree? He brought in a tree. Did the czar walk in with a tree and he was hiding behind the tree? No. How come you did not know he was the czar if the czar walked into the bar? He came in a car into the bar and you could not see him in the car that he was the czar in the bar? Or he was far away, you couldn't see that far that he was a czar in the bar in the car? How come you did not know that the czar walked into the bar if the czar did walk into the bar?
He dressed up like a regular person.
Very good. He dressed up like a regular person. Shh. And he sat down on a stool. And he's listening with his ears to hear, what are people talking about? You know, a lot of people are going to talk about a lot of things in a bar. And the czar thinks one of the things they'll talk about is himself. And he'll hear what people are saying. Well, all of a sudden, there was an empty stool next to the czar as he was sitting by the bar. And in the door walked a soldier in his soldier uniform with his sword, with his hat, with his boots and his uniform, and he sits down on the stool next to the czar, and all of a sudden the bartender comes over to the soldier. Yes, what will you drink? And the soldier says, I would like mashke. Oh, mashke. A cup of mashke or a bottle of mashke? Well, all of a sudden, this soldier turns to the czar. He didn't know he was the czar. And he sees that there's a man sitting next to him, and he's not drinking anything. So the soldier gets a big smile on his face. He says, give me a whole bottle of mashke. I'm going to share it with my friend over here. I'm going to drink with my friend over here, not alone. Ah, I'll buy you drinks, he says now to the Tsar. Let's share a bottle of mashke. And he doesn't know he's buying mashke for himself and the Tsar. And the bartender brings a big bottle of mashke with two glasses. Not little cups. What do you think? They're going to drink a little cup of mashke? A big glass of mashke. And the soldier opens up. The soldier opens up the bottle of mashke. And he pours out a whole cup of mashke for the Tsar. And he pours out a whole glass of mashke for himself. Two whole glasses of mashke. And they start to drink. I don't know if they say l'chaim, or they clink their glasses together like people do sometimes. That's not a Yiddish minig, but that's what, you know, some goyim do. They clink the glasses together. They make a toast. Not a piece of toast in a toaster. I don't know why it's called a toast. Who knows why? And they drink the mashke. Well, when they got done drinking the mashke, in front of the soldier, when he put down his glass, there was a little mashke left. But the Tsar drank the whole glass of mashke. Well, all of a sudden, the soldier gets this big smile on his face, and he slaps the Tsar on the back. Now, do you think the king is used to getting a slap on the back? Somebody goes, bing, a big bang on the back. The soldier gives a big slap on the back of the Tsar, and the Tsar starts getting angry. Hey, what are you doing slapping me on the back? And the soldier says, look, you drank your whole glass of mashke. Don't you know what happens now? And the Tsar says, what do you mean what happens now? What happens now? He says, whoever drinks the whole glass of mashke, you cannot leave the whole glass empty. So now you have to drink another glass of mashke. And he pours out the Tsar a whole other glass of mashke. And he adds his own. He adds more mashke to his own. And they drink again. And the Tsar drinks the whole glass of mashke. And the soldier drinks, but he leaves a little bit over. And he sees again the Tsar drank the whole glass. And he gives a slap on his back. And he says, okay, a third glass of mashke. By this time, the bottle was empty. And the soldier orders another bottle, two bottles of mashke. And they drink up all the mashke. Two people drinking two bottles of mashke. How do you think a person feels after drinking a whole bottle of mashke? How do you feel? I hope you never drank a whole bottle of mashke. If I drank a whole bottle of mashke, I couldn't even tell this story anymore. How do you think they feel after drinking two bottles of mashke?
Shiker.
Drunk. Well, these Russians, you know, they know how to drink without getting too drunk, but, you know, they were in a good mood. Shh. And now, the Tsar and the soldier get up from their stools and they start to leave the bar. The soldier is leaving the Tsar together with the bar. All of a sudden, the bartender says, after they got drinking the two bottles of mashke, the bartender comes over and says to the soldier, time to pay. Time to pay for the two bottles of mashke. Pay? Pay? Well, of course, you have to pay the few rubles for the bottles of mashke. Give me 10 rubles, 5 rubles one bottle, 5 rubles the other bottle. 5 and 5, 10 rubles. And the soldier says, oh, let's see how much I have over here. Oh, here's 1 ruble, 2 rubles, 3. Oh, okay, I have 3 rubles. 10 rubles, not 3, 10 rubles. Well, I don't exactly have 10 rubles. The bartender says, you must pay the 10 rubles or else I don't let you leave the bar until you pay. Give the 10 rubles. All of a sudden, the soldier says to the bartender, I tell you what, Right now, I don't exactly have 10 rubles. I have 3. But tomorrow, I could come back to give you the more rubles. How much rubles does he have to give the bartender tomorrow? If he gives 3 today, how much he has to give tomorrow?
7.
I could give you 7 rubles tomorrow. And the bartender says, not good enough tomorrow, because otherwise you leave today and only 3 rubles you pay, and I am out 7 rubles. How do I know you will come back tomorrow? How do I know you will come back? And all of a sudden the soldier says, I tell you what I do. You see my sword? Oh yes, I see your sword. Okay, I give you my sword. You keep my sword here. Of course, I'm a soldier, and I must to have my sword. A soldier needs a sword. That is the tool of the soldier. Otherwise, he's not really a whole soldier without his sword. Tomorrow, I will come back and give you the 7 rubles, and then you give me back my sword. So you keep my sword to make sure that tomorrow I come back. And the bartender says, okay, give me this sword. The soldier takes off his sword and gives it to the bartender. And the bartender says, okay, I keep this till you give me the 7 rubles. Now, Kinalach, all of a sudden, the Tsar became very upset. You know why the Tsar became very upset? Because, let's see if you know, why did the Tsar become very upset now?
Because if he doesn't have a sword, he can't fight.
Okay, that's a big part of it. Any other thing that's going on over here, why the Tsar became very upset?
Because it's a rule that you need to have a sword by war.
Okay, very good. The soldiers have laws and rules. One of the rules in the books of the soldiers, in the book of soldier rules, is a soldier must at all times have his sword. This is a rule. Who makes up the rules for the soldiers? Who makes up rules and laws for the soldiers?
The king.
The king is in charge, of course, of all the different rules and laws. And he says, to be a soldier in the king's army, at all times you have to have your sword, even the middle of the night, because maybe the middle of the night the trumpets will blow. Beep, 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 beep. The soldiers have to go to war, even in the middle of the night. What do you think? A war is scheduled only for the morning after they eat their Cheerios, after they eat their cornflakes, then they go to war. A war could happen any time. Some emergency. Only after they have their toast and eggies they go out to war? Forget it. A war could happen in an emergency. Shh. And Kinalach, this soldier, has broken a rule of the king. He all of a sudden gave away his sword to the bartender until he pays him the money for the mashke. Is a soldier allowed to do this?
No.
No. And the Tsar got very upset at the soldier for breaking the rule of the soldiers. But the Tsar did not say anything. He did not, you know, say, you know, I'm the king and you better do something about this. But the Tsar planned to do something to get the soldier in big, gigantical trouble for what he did. And so, without saying a word about that, he's a czar, they got up from the stools, and they go outside of the bar, and the soldier and the czar say goodbye outside of the bar, and the soldier gives the czar another pat on the back, another slap on the back. Hey, oh, we had fun, didn't we? Yeah, the czar said, yeah, we had a good time. I don't know exactly if it's over, but we had a good time. And the Tsar and the soldier said goodbye. And of course, the soldier did not know that he had gotten himself in a real pickle. Not exactly a pickle, but you know, in trouble. the Tsar. Okay, tomorrow I think we will continue. Merit Hashem.